So the next step, if you go back to your checklist, is to start your database of your top 20 contacts. So you're going to turn to page 11 and 12. And again, what does the amateur do? The amateur says, go home and put your list together. But how many times do people actually follow through and get their list together? Not many times. And so our goal is to do it with them on the job training.
So let's talk about databasing. I think the best way to introduce the principle of databasing is to bring up a book, an older book called Acres of Diamonds. Now, what if, Mark, if I can ask you a question, what would you do if you owned a diamond mine?
I would mine those diamonds.
Great. Right answer. Well, I mean, can you imagine owning a diamond mine? And let's say that it's gifted to you by your grandfather or something. It's on the Big Island.
Love it. Top of the volcano. Thank you, Grandpa.
And so what happens is you constantly talk about this diamond mine because you know this diamond mine is full of diamonds, or at least you hope so. You've never seen any. But, you know, apparently it's worth something. And so for decades, you pass the lore on to your family and your children. Everybody knows about the diamond mine. The problem is you've never been there. You never tried to mine the diamonds. And I mean, what a waste, right? Well, I really believe that each one of us, whether you are blue collar or white collar or no collar, whether you've been to Harvard, whether you've thought about Harvard, whether you know what Harvard is, you know, whether you've been successful or not, you know, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. The demographic doesn't matter. I really believe that we all have acres of diamonds. We literally have a gold mine, if you will. We all have something very valuable, and that is our relationships to other people. Hey, that's why network marketing is so effective, by the way, because of people who knew people. And I know that most people in this industry are not harvesting the vast wealth that they know. They might not know where to dig right now. They might be afraid of what they're going to find or not find. But I'm telling you, you have a valuable resource. Here's the catch, though. If you don't go and mine it, somebody else will, and it's totally legal. That's the intro to creating an effective database. The longer your database is, the more you're going to have to harvest. The shorter your database is, the less you're going to have to harvest. If you create a list, I mean, day one, when you start this business, you're given instructions to initiate or to begin keeping track of a database of at least 20 people. And I remember when I first started network marketing, I didn't think I knew anybody. And we all pretty much say, I don't know who, you know, I don't know who. Well, when you're talking about databasing, you don't want to figure out who will or won't be interested. The deal is you just need to write the names down. Now, a couple of key points. A database is not a database if it's in your mind. That's called a dream or a wish. It has to be something physical, whether you do it on the computer, whether you do it on a steno notebook, you know, whether it's in a Rolodex, you know, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or whatever, but it has to be a physical database. And that's why you can use your blueprint for prosperity as that database for actually a very, very, very long time. But I remember when I first created my database, I had 34 names. And, you know, I thought I had exhausted every single person I knew, you know, every single relative and friend and coworker and schoolmate. Well, that would be pretty pathetic if I had only talked to 34 people in my life. But I'm letting you know, I could not think of anybody else. So what do you do when you have that type of problem, when you think that you've exhausted your list, you don't know anybody else at 34 names?
You know, open that blueprint, and there is a memory jogger in that blueprint. And all you have to do is just kind of go down that memory jogger. Who do you know that was successful in network marketing? Or who do you know that wasn't successful in network marketing? Who do you know that, you know, wants something better out of life? Who do you know that wants better health? Who do you know that XYZ? Just go down that memory jogger, and that'll start to jog your memory, and you can start to write those people's names down. And you know what? As you start to put this database together, it's amazing because the names just start to flow and flow. And in the middle of the night, I remember getting up. And by the way, keep a little notebook or keep that blueprint next to your bed, because if a name comes to you in the middle of the night, just get up and jot that name down so you don't forget it. Or as you're driving, just pull over to the side, be safe, and write those names down, because you'll be amazed of the number of people you know. Seth, what is that statistic about by the time you're 20 years old, you know?
Yeah. They've said that by the time the average person is 20 years old, they know 1,000 people. 1,000 people. And I could only come up with 34 names on
my
database.
By name, right? By name. 1,000 people, yes. By name. Now, you know, let me just tell you one of my fears that I've had as I started to put this database together. You know, this is what I would do. I'd say, oh, you know, Jeff wouldn't be interested in this, but Sally would be interested. And I excluded some names of people on my database. But folks, don't do that. Let them decide for themselves or their selves whether this business is right for them or not. Don't decide for them, because I guarantee you, if you decide for them whether this is not for them, and you never invite them to listen, they'll never listen. They'll never get the information, but someone else might invite them.
Well, I've had that experience. Mark, have you had that experience? I'm sitting in a meeting, and in walks somebody that I know. And at first, you're so excited, which is great. I mean, it's wonderful. We're happy for them, right? But you realize, wait a second, why didn't I call them? Oh, I know why. Because I was too scared. Because I didn't database them. Again, driving this key point home, databasing is not about deciding for anybody else. Databasing is about creating a database. And remember, we are professionals. This is all about going pro. You want to be professional in the industry. You want to be professional in Life Vantage. The professional doesn't worry about who or who won't be interested. They just keep that database. Keep this database where it belongs. And you know what? I'm going to quiz you right now, Mark. I'm going to pull out this database because I want to see if you're a professional. I want to be a professional. I'm going to test you, okay? I'm just reading down the memory jogger here. I'm going to read a category, and I want you just to say one name or two names that just automatically come to your mind to see if this really works, okay? Somebody who sells cars, car salespeople.
Bill.
Okay, Bill. A dentist that you know.
I don't know my dentist's name, but I got his face.
Okay, great. Can you get a hold of him?
Sure.
All right. Somebody who does volunteer work.
Sally.
Somebody who's a member of your church.
Sean.
Somebody who is in the mortgage business.
Craig.
Okay. A friend from college.
Billy.
This is a tough one. Your mother-in-law.
Let me think.
You're going to be in trouble on that one.
I am. Naomi.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's simple, right? This memory jogger, literally, if we spent 10 minutes and you went down each one of these, I think there are over 90 subcategories in this memory jogger. If you made the goal to think of two names for each subcategory, you'd have a database of almost 200 people.
Seth, you know, that's great. I love that. But you know what? I remember when I first started this business, I was terrified. I was just terrified to even contact those people. Now, I've learned through the years, don't decide for them. But let's just get back to reality here. You know, I have a lot of people come to us and say, but I'm afraid. I mean, how do I talk to this person? And we'll get into inviting later, but let me just share a story with you. When I was a teenager, 13, 14 years old, I remember it was Christmas, and my uncle and aunt, they would always give us the best Christmas gifts every single year. So this one Christmas in particular, I remember getting this silver box with a beautiful red bow on top of it. And I remember just waiting for Christmas Day so that I could open that gift. And I remember saving it as one of the last presents that I was going to open. And I got to that gift, I opened it up, and it was a watch. It was a Casio watch with some buttons on it. And I thought, a watch. Gee, thanks. You know, I threw on the side. That's how grateful I was, or immature at the time. But I threw on the side because I didn't see any value in that watch. I wasn't excited about it. Well, a couple of weeks went by, and I remember picking up the watch and reading the instructions, and it was a Casio calculator watch. You remember those watches? Well, I said, this is cool. So I started to wear it. And then a couple of months later, guess what? Everyone had to get one of those Casio watches because I was cool, right? No. Because it was just a trend. It wasn't because of me. It was just because it was a hot thing to get. But this is what I learned. Here's the moral of the story. This business is just like that Christmas gift that I received. It is the most amazing gift. And when we can change people's lives, when we can give them better health, when we can give them time freedom, when we can give them financial freedom. I mean, how many of you know people that are losing their homes, losing their jobs, right? People are always looking for something to change your lives. That's what LifeVantage can do for you. That's what this business can do. And it's just a matter of giving that gift because you want to bless people's lives. Just give it to them. And whether they open it and receive it or not, that's up to them. It's kind of like me. I didn't see the value in that gift. But once I saw that value, guess what? It was awesome. It was the best gift that I received. And I think that's what this business is. And I think that's what databasing does. You know, just giving people the opportunity to list all of these people that we want to bless and giving them this present that we can bless their lives with.
When we database, it's crucial that we remember we just want to go through a brainstorming process. And in brainstorming, if you're writing a whole bunch of ideas down on a whiteboard or a blackboard for whatever you're brainstorming about, the rule is this. There's really one cardinal rule in brainstorming, and that is there are no bad ideas. I mean, I want you to imagine a classroom of people or a boardroom of people, and you're all trying to come up with an idea. So we're brainstorming, and then somebody over in the corner, Jim, says, "Hey, what about this?" And everybody looks at Jim and says, "That's the dumbest idea in the world." And you don't even write it down. In other words, it doesn't even make the board. We just automatically rule it out and say, bad idea. What's Jim going to do for the rest of the meeting? Sit there. Are you going to get any other ideas out of Jim? Probably not. Why? Because we broke the cardinal rule of brainstorming, which is there are no bad ideas. There are no bad names on the list. We may choose not to contact some of them, but there are no bad names. And I think our brains creatively work the same way. If I think of somebody and I'm about to write it down and then I overthink the process and say, oh, you know, they probably wouldn't be interested. Well, guess what? That section of my brain might just turn down. And because I don't list my Aunt Karen, I might also forget my Aunt Sherry and that entire side of the family because I shut myself down. There are no bad ideas in brainstorming. There are no bad names in databasing.
So the next step, here's the takeaway, here's the to-do. Pause this CD, pause this audio, take out your blueprint, and start to write down your names in your database. Take a few minutes, and remember, keep brainstorming, keep writing those names down. It's the most amazing gift that we can give them. Bless people's lives.
So we're back talking about databasing. Congratulations, your database is bigger than it was before you paused the program. I want to leave you with a story, a true story about databasing of a very young man in this industry, and I know it to be true. Here's the story. There was an individual by the name, and I've changed the names of this story to protect the innocent or the guilty. Let's just say there was a man by the name of John, and John was not interested in network marketing. But somehow he found himself involved in a network marketing company a number of years ago. And he enrolled, and John continued to bug his brother, who happened to be John's twin. And we'll just say his name was Jim. So we've got John and Jim. And they were involved in this network marketing company. And, you know, they went through, I think, many of the principles that we're talking about, making a list, talking to people, et cetera, et cetera. And they had in mind one gentleman. Let's just call his name Ken. And they thought that they'd talk to Ken, but and you know, they were good friends. In fact, their families would vacation together. They'd known each other for years. They were friends of the family. But for whatever reason, John and Jim decided not to call Ken. Perhaps because Ken was successful in business, perhaps because he was, you know, a retired multimillionaire, whatever. Whatever the story was, at the end, they just decided not to database him, right? He was not an option. And so time went by. And then into that same company joined a woman by the name of Jane. And Jane happened to know this same man, Ken. So what do you think? One day she said, "I think I need to call Ken. But I don't know if Ken's name made it to an actual database." You remember we talked about databasing. It has to be physical. If it's in your mind, if you think about databasing somebody's name and you don't, then it's just a dream. You always need to write it down. So whatever. Jane didn't write Ken's name down or didn't call him for sure. And so another 6 months went by, and then there was a young man who was 26 years old who got involved in that same company. And he started to make a list of people, a database, and started to talk to people. And one day he got the bright idea. He said, wait a second, I should talk to my friend Ken. You see, Ken hadn't even made the list again. Now, why is it that this man Ken is being left off of everybody's database? Well, I don't know the answer. And you don't know. As Jim Rohn says, don't sign up for that class. The point of the matter is, nobody had written his name down. Well, finally, this young man gets the bright idea and says, I'm going to call Ken. And so the name goes on the database. And what that led to was a conversation between this young man and Ken. And the interesting thing is that Ken said, you know what? I'm actually looking for a network marketing company. I've been looking for the last year and a half for a network marketing company that I can join because I believe that network marketing is the best way to truly help people and change their lives. And I might not need it financially, but I've always wanted to do this. And so that young green leaf, if you will, that young man in the business enrolled Ken, and they proceeded to build a business that did millions and millions and millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars in business, in revenue, and those guys made a lot of money. Well, I happen to know for a fact, because I was that young man who made that call to this man that we're calling Ken, I happen to know that because of that one contact in this industry, I was able to earn in excess of $1 million in commission. And I call this the $4 million story. And the reason it's a $4 million story is because although I might have made $1 million, Jane and Jim and John, each of them respectively, lost that same $1 million. It was theirs for the taking. It was theirs to mine. That was their acres of diamonds. They had the contract for that diamond mine, but for whatever reason, and frankly, the reason is irrelevant, the result was they didn't seek out the valuables and they never took home the reward. That's a $4 million story. Make sure that that does not happen to you. Add to your database every single day. For more information and training on the principle of databasing, visit www.theprovenplan.com.